Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. This is Bill Chafee calling in. Just had a quick question at the city council meeting this week. How come you guys adjourned for legal counsel, and then when we came back, the mayor had said no drinking from the containers and everything, and still nothing was done about the drinking game at the meeting?
Because it wasn't disruptive. We knew that the bottles contained water. Sam Miller had come on KBK, I think the previous day or that morning, and he had said, well, yes, we're going to do it again, but, you know, we'll have water in the bottle. So we knew there was water in the bottles. And, you know, frankly, I sit there and drink water out of a bottle. I drink it out of a water bottle.
Right.
I don't feel it necessary to pour it into a beer bottle and then change the label. But
what about the flask?
I didn't see it, so
because
I don't know.
The girl who was drinking from the flask went to the bathroom or went into the hallway at some point, and when she went by me, it was clearly a hard alcohol in the flask. There was no mistaking that.
Well,
and
I don't know.
It was actually a flask
is not. It's not an open alcohol container. I mean, it's an open container of alcohol if indeed she had alcohol in it, but it. Just looking at it, you wouldn't, you know.
It's just very frustrating.
It's very frustrating, but there was no disruption. I mean, I was sitting there, and I was, when we were having a, they gave a presentation on the master plan.
Right.
And so I turned to look at the master plan, look at the man who was doing the presentation, and the audience was behind him. And if they were drinking every time they said master plan as they said they were, I didn't notice it. There weren't enough of them.
I mean, it wasn't disruptive, but it was distracting because that's the only thing that I watched while I was there. I didn't even know what the master plan was about because I was focused on them every single time he said master plan, they drank.
Oh, well, see. I was interested in what he was saying about the master plan, so I wasn't noticing.
It's just frustrating, distracting, and I was just interested in why, he said, you know, there's no drinking out of alcohol containers, and then it was just more frustrating than anything. The whole thing is very frustrating.
Well, I think that like other little children, they'll get sick of it after a while, and they'll go on to something else. I mean, this is something that. I'll tell you a story later about my nephew who used to. They remind me so much of my nephew that used to do things. He'd get this smile on his face. I'm going to do something.
I said pride can be a very powerful thing, and I think some of them even don't want to have taken it this far, but they don't want it. They're too proud to back down now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So
it just
makes my stomach hurt when I'm in there. Watching this behavior, and this is a community, and we all have to agree on a general set of rules that doesn't, get in the way of a beautiful town like Keene.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I mean, holding for 5 minutes, I'll die. That's no problem. But I appreciate negativity. I don't want negativity taken out of the election process. I don't think we have enough negativity in the debates and in the in the national federal debate. But there's too much unanimity. I think that's the problem. I had a teacher in college who used to say America's at its worst when it's united. Like the McCarthy era and so forth. So I want to see that negativity. I want a full debate. And I don't care if it takes 6 months. I do think you're right, though. If that money's coming out of your pocket or my pocket, that's not good.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe we're debating the word here a little bit. I'm for a full debate. And if you go in and you say this is what I stand for, and this is what my opponent tells you he stands for, I'm all right with that. But the attack ads that don't really discuss the issues. Or don't really tell you where somebody stands. That's when I say negativity, I'm against it. That's what I'm against. You know, a fair hearing of what people stand for, if you don't agree and disagree, that's what we should have.
Right. But I want to hear a candidate say, I support I will try to, I will go to Washington and do this, because you're not going to do this unless everybody, right. a majority of people agree with you. But I will try to do this. I will attempt to do that.
Right.
And not my opponent is bad, because I don't want anything said about their opponent being bad. I want to hear what's good about them, about the candidate.
What do you think? Well, you let, the more you let the candidate jawbone, the more they're going to incriminate themselves, too. So,
well, see, there you go.
Absolutely.
But the main problem, the main concern I have with what you're talking about is, you know, if anyone says things should be a certain way, okay, yeah, maybe they should, but how much force are you willing to be used to make that happen? I mean, how much taxpayer money is it going to cost to make it your way?
Right. Well, you have, first of all, people have to agree with you. If you say, I want, you know, the sky to be green instead of blue, then,
right.
you know, nobody's going to agree with you, so you probably drop that and go on to something else. But,
yeah.
So, and hopefully so. Anyway.
Yeah.
Got any good candidates in mind?
Oh, I like Andrew Carroll, but that's local level. You talking about the national level?
Oh, just anybody.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess Ron Paul said he's thinking about running again. I guess he just came out and said if there's enough support, he's probably going to do it.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen his name, but...
So the root of this problem, the root is the Federal Reserve, and he's the only candidate that's actually against that. The fact that they can print as much money as they want, throw out as many green pieces of paper as they want, and call it money, that's the root of all the problems. The Iraq War, the Afghanistan quagmire... that's where these problems are coming from, is the Federal Reserve System. You can't have that without the Federal Reserve, and there's only one candidate that wants that. So I hope he runs.
Well, let's see if he does. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye now. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. It's Mark, host of the radio show Free Talk Live.
Hi.
Hey, how are you today?
How's Jack?
He is great. He's standing right here. I never imagined that life could offer such joy.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, 2.5 now.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It certainly does. So I got a couple of thoughts. First, I want to address the fellow who thought that it was a good idea for America to be in 131 nations around the world and on 700 military bases, because it protects us. And if you read what Osama bin Laden said when he claimed responsibility for the 9/11 attacks, he said, there are 4 points, and, you know, some ramblings about Israel and all that other crap. But one of them was that the United States' intervention and presence, its military's presence in the Middle East, specifically in Saudi Arabia, but generally in the Middle East. And so those bases actually cause the problems that the bases are there to solve.
That could be true.
Well, it's the evidence points that way.
Right.
So... anyway, that was one point. Second point, maybe the Sentinel, the reason that they didn't cover the sale of the school and the several meetings on it, maybe the reason was because they were so busy chasing around free teeners wearing clown masks, doing backflips without shirts on in Central Square.
Well, that could be true.
They may have different priorities.
I've got some thoughts. And I think that you guys handled the drinking game very well last night or the night before, whatever
there?
It was. And
were you there, Mark?
I was. Please. I've got better things to do.
Okay.
If I ever go to any of these sort of activism things, I go to watch, generally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an outside the system activist or protester or anything like that. That's not my thing. So my thought is this, that the reaction that these people are screwing things up, we must crack down on them, and I heard a guy call earlier today, is exactly the wrong thing to do. The goal of the free teeners isn't to bring down the city government. It's to recruit more people so that they can see the changes that they want to see in the future. So these are recruitment stunts. These aren't... actually intended to do anything. So they're doing what they're intended to do because there's more people here coming now, right?
Right.
So the reaction to clamping down causes people to react. The public out there that's paying attention to this, on a nationwide basis, that may in fact come, those sort of radicals may come here and want to participate. When they see the crackdowns, you're giving them what they want to see.
Right. And do you think that it's kind of telling or indicative or whatever that Heike Kors's letter got more response from the council than two demonstrations?
You know, I think that letter writing's fine. If the city council wants to respond in the way that they, I mean, it may get response, but is it going to get what she wants? I don't know.
Probably not. I was actually going to introduce that before all of this started. I mean, once they had been doing some demonstrating, but before they started coming to city council meetings, and mostly because I knew it would not pass, but at least to show, okay, this is not what the bulk of people in the city want, but it's going to happen anyway.
I think that the people of the city of Keene should be able to walk down the street with whatever beverage they want to have in some container. If they're staggering drunk or something, you know, there's a law for that. But the open container laws, I think, are silly. However, I don't think that the solution is going to be something like, protests against it or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that's the solution.
Right.
But what I'm trying to point out here is the solution to the protests isn't cracking down. It isn't sending cops to arrest people.
Right.
It isn't giving them the opportunity to stand in front of police cars. It isn't giving them the chance to get national news, because currently they're doing all of those things. They're getting what they want. And the people I know, many people are frustrated. The Free State Project hasn't turned out exactly the way I expected to see it happen here in the city of Keene. I'm frustrated. But the solution isn't cracking down on these people and trying to beat the activism out of them,
right,
because that doesn't work. What that does is it beats activism into them.
Right.
Kent State's radicalized a generation. The older people didn't understand. Well, those people threw rocks at cops. Of course they shot them down. The younger people said, holy crap, they were just trying to not go to war, and then we shoot them here.
I was trying to put a flower in their rifle.
Right. So the reaction of cracking down is simply going to result in the exact opposite of what they hope to achieve.
Well, I think that this is a learning process for the city as well as everybody else in the city council, and so hopefully that, you know, their reaction will be somewhat different than it would have been 6 months ago. So,
thank you, Cynthia.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark.
Bye.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Is that me?
It is you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to comment about that last caller and their tactics. Even though he's just saying he's an observer, I don't believe that. There is a right way and a wrong way to do things in the city of Keene. We have a great city.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great city government. We have a great police department. And there are laws of behavior, laws against illegal things, laws against moral things. These people that have been creating these incidents to get publicity are certainly going about it the wrong way. If they want to continue that, they should go to Brattleboro, and they probably would get more.
Somebody said that last week too.
Well, they should get; they'll get more publicity over there because they're in their environment. Keene is a great city, and going downtown is exciting. We have the most beautiful downtown anywhere, and that new addition with the roundabout, that extension up Main Street, really complements downtown, and it makes me feel connected to Keene State College. It's beautiful. We don't need these pot smokers, the women bearing their breasts. We don't need disruptions in city council meetings. I would encourage the city and the police department to enforce within the law the laws that are on the books. And if these people don't like it, and obviously this guy's plea for amnesty and let them continue their silliness, shows that cracking down does work, and I hope the city of Keene continues it.
Well, we'll see what happens. I think the decision was made not to do it Thursday night, not to crack down, because they knew there was water in the bottles. They were not disturbing the peace. They were not disturbing the city. I wasn't even aware that they were there, and I don't think anyone else was. But I think they had been. We'd been told in advance. Sam Miller called the radio station and said, yes, we won't have alcohol. They'll and they were, you know, they were beer bottles, but they had been, the labels had been changed. And I think it was the right thing to do. I think, you know, they got to act like idiots and we got to ignore them. And so,
well, I'm being
maybe not idiots, maybe children. They got to act like children.
Right. I get accused a lot of repeating myself a lot, but I'm going to do it again. There's a gentleman who has a website. He's a producer, director. He encourages the volunteers to come and perform, and then he runs right back to his computer and he puts it on his website.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that that gentleman is just trying. He's got a business, and I don't know if he asks for donations. I don't know if people send him money to view this this silliness, but he is in charge of what's going on. If there should be a crackdown, it should be a city ordinance against people producing movies or DVDs or programs for their computer without a license, and he should be charged like everybody else because he's got a business he's running.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that you can do that.
No, you probably can't do that. But that's what he does do, and he's really happy. I've witnessed some of this stuff, and one of the ones was when they were in the square with their pot smoking, the police enforced the law, and then how he directed everybody to march down Main Street, down Marlboro Street, to the police station, how he encouraged people to go inside and do their thing, how he encouraged people to step over a boundary where there was clearly posted no trespassing beyond this point, how he directed everybody to sit in a big circle. Whether they were smoking pot or not, I don't know. But it was, you could see it was well orchestrated, and they were looking for a reaction. They didn't get it, but I'm sure they ran right back and they put that on the computer. So keep up the good work. I hope the Keene Police Department enforces the law. If there's a law being broken, remember one thing: a police officer takes an oath to enforce the law. If they don't enforce the law, they're breaking the law.
Right.
So they have to enforce the law. And God love them that they're doing a great job. The police department's doing a great job the way they're handling it, and I hope they continue to do it.
And they're doing it with more patience than I would have.
Well, so. Absolutely. More than I would have had when I was working there.
Right.
It wouldn't be, things would have been different if it happened 30 years ago when I was around.
Right. Right.
Well, keep up the good work.
Okay.
That's my two cents.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Sam. So the last caller there, besides making a bunch of assumptions, that most of which were untrue, he said that if it's the law, police have to enforce it. And I just wanted to direct him to a letter written by the chief of police in Keene, Ken Miola, where he says exactly the opposite of that. He says that police have something called discretion, and they can choose which laws they want to enforce.
Okay.
So
I don't know police law, so I would assume that...
It's in a letter. He wrote it to Free Keene, and it's posted on the blog over there. So, you know, he's making a lot of assumptions that are just simply not true. The police pick and choose which laws they want to enforce. It's illegal to play games on Sunday in New Hampshire. It's illegal to drink water from a milk carton. It's illegal to, you know, do all kinds of silly, ridiculous things. And the laws don't really reflect what the community wants or what individuals in a certain area want. It's what the politicians want. And they don't have to enforce them. They don't enforce them. They exercise discretion. And they, unfortunately, it's a good thing in some respects, because clearly you don't want them going out into a baseball field today or tomorrow and, you know, arresting a bunch of little leaguers. But at the same time, there are so many laws on the books that they can use their discretion to allow some people to get away with some things while targeting other people. And that's a very unfortunate, unintended consequence and side effect of the violent monopoly known as police.
Well, the individual who called actually was a police officer for probably 25 years, maybe more. But it was a while ago, and maybe some of those laws have changed, and they do have more discretion than they had a few years ago.
perhaps. So. Cynthia, one more thing, if I could. I know you feel that a lot of the free keeners or the free staters are petulant children and so forth, but I don't know, like, I don't feel that name-calling is very mature behavior, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but last week you called us all idiots on the radio.
I should have said children. I did that this morning, too, and what I really said was children. What I said, I mean children. And that was, idiots is not true, because I, in fact, you called into Dan's show and said, you're talking about the economy, I think, and I thought, good grief. You know, that's very intelligent, and he speaks very well, and I wish he wasn't a free stater. I'd vote for him if he was running.
If I can touch on the school thing, I'm not so concerned about the price. I mean, there's a $1 million home at the corner of School and Court Street, and clearly if you compare the two, something's wrong there. But what concerns me more than the sale price is the fact that the city's building a new middle school, a new courthouse, what other new buildings. You guys are doing all of this new construction.
New fire
station.
You
just built a new jail, new fire station, all at a time when the experts who predicted the last housing crash are predicting a commercial real estate crash that's at the very beginning right now.
Except one of the things is that Keene is doing much better than the rest of the country.
True.
And maybe it's because people are working because there's a lot of construction going on here.
Well, I think it's because, you know, it's like Spain did a study where they looked at, they had this big green initiative, go green, save the planet, that whole thing. But what the study uncovered is that for every job, every green job that the government created through its regulations, it cost the real economy, the private sector, 2.5 jobs. So the problem is really taking the money from the people who are working to earn it in the first place, and then redistributing it to spend it on, you know, buildings or roads or whatever. Whereas I think, who knows what those people would have done with that money had they been allowed to make those decisions for themselves.
Well, you said this study was in Spain.
Yes.
I don't think it applies. I just read a story about Spain, and the reason that happens there is they have such protections for full-time employees.
Yes.
And if you'll let me.
Go ahead.
So what they're finding is that they actually force you, if you're going to fire somebody who's a full-time employee, you have to pay them off. And it's mm-hmm. astounding amounts of money to do that. So they don't hire people full-time. Everybody's either a contractor or part-time, and it's actually destroying their economy. And I'm not really sure that has the same effect here in the United States.
I think it does, but it's a matter of degree. The problem is really all of the regulations and things that are placed on businesses. And you're right, Keene is actually seeing a lower unemployment rate than the national average. The economy is doing better, not just in Keene, but in New Hampshire overall. And the reason for that is because there are fewer regulations, there are fewer rules. There is more personal freedom, and when you allow that freedom, you allow creativity, you allow the private sector to come in and flourish, whereas in other parts of the country, they can't because they're suffering under the regulation.
I think one other thing I'd like to point out, though, is that I work for CNS, and there's a large amount of very good-paying jobs there, same with Liberty Mutual, same with the PC Connection.
Yep.
And people move to Keene also because they want to raise their kids here and have their kids go to the school system here. And, you know, by improving the school system, we draw these people into the city. I mean, I have no doubt that, you know, if you're an executive and you're, you know, out on the job market and you can move to Keene where your kids can go to the public school and get a great education in a great community, that's a driving factor in bringing business into Keene. So,
sure,
I think the school system is an economic driver.
It is, but where do the people with enough money send their kids, to public or private education? And what if we did away with this public education system that's spending in Cheshire County $18,300 per kid, gave that back to the community and allowed it to solve the marketing or the education problems or concerns and so forth? You know, what kind of differences will we have? We wouldn't be spending millions of dollars building this one centralized school. You wouldn't have all the traffic problems. You'd have lots of different options available. People would get what they want. You know, the Christians could have you know, the biblical evolution taught instead of creationism. And you would have all these choices, whereas today what we have are parents fighting against each other to wield the power of, you know, what's going to be taught to my kid, whereas when you have the private market handling it, you get yeses to everybody. Everybody gets to choose how their kid is educated, and they get to pay for it. But because you have competition and so forth, it's going to naturally drive prices down.
Sam, we've got to take one more phone call, and it's probably an answer to your comments. So thanks for calling. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning. I was actually calling at IanFreaking.com. Actually calling about the retired cop who believes that he can arrest his way out of the what he perceives as the problem of the activists. And I have to agree with Mark earlier. All the evidence shows that the more violence the city uses, the more publicity the activists receive, the more outraged people around the country become, the faster they move their plans up to make the move here. I was talking with a lawyer who has made the move to New Hampshire. He's gotten his bar license. And he told me that the reason he moved was because I was arrested 3 years ago in the courtroom for not sitting down fast enough. That was what attracted him to this movement. So we're now, 3 years later, seeing people move because of what happened a long time ago. And so there's kind of a slow process where people, you know, they have to pick up their lives, they have to get here. But rest assured, the more violence that comes from the agents of the city of Keene, the more activists you will find within the city.
But isn't it true, Ian, that people do come here, they do move here, and then they discover that they really, it's not as great as they thought it was, and some of the people that have come here for the Free Keene movement have left the city as well.
Sure, including some of the more undesirable activists. One in particular who was a kind of a hothead has left the area. So yeah, it's not for everybody.
Right.
But nonetheless, also he's, you know, done his detective work, and he was talking about somebody who's in charge and gives people directions and then goes back and puts it all up on the website and makes money off of it. Freaking.com is a site that has multiple activists that are bloggers and multiple activists who can put up their ideas and their opinions and their videos and things like that. Yes, the website does accept contributions, but that money is poured back into the movement. And yes, I am a professional professional talk show host, so I do profit from my activism, but it's not like I'm greedily putting all of that away somewhere and holding on to it. I drive around a 1996 Toyota Corolla that has almost 300,000 miles on it, and when I've got extra money, I take it and I give it to local charity. When I have extra money, I take it and I put it.
Gotta
back
go, Sam.
Thank
you very much for calling. And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks to our producer, Forrest Sundstrom, and thanks to all of you for letting us be part of your Saturday morning. And thank you, Dave Richards, for being here.
Thanks for having me
on,
Cynthia.
Good job.
It was fun.
And please join us again next Saturday morning. And in the meantime, have a great week.